Mm-hmm. This seems kind of crazy.
Right.
Get the out of my country. Go!
Here, I have a soldier here.
Muslim.
You don't do Muslims?
No.
Why you don't do Muslims?
Because of your attitude.
And he, as soon as he sees these people who are visibly Muslim, he starts saying, yelling these expletives, get the F out of my country.
Because a politician sent us here? For weapons of mass destruction that didn't exist? The only reason we were f***ing each other is because we were born on different parts of the world. That's it.
This is the DJ. This is the DJ.
Assalamu alaikum, greetings and peace. Welcome to the Dean Show. I have here with me a top attorney, a chaplain, communications director for CARE, who just recently wrote an article for the Miami Herald that was featured. Islamophobia is surging. It is surging in Florida and it must be addressed. And he goes into these questions. He goes into giving some of the answers. Here with me is Will Fredo.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Brother Eddie. How are you doing?
Wa alaikum assalamu wa barakatuh. Peace be with you. How are you doing? Alhamdulillah.
Very good. Alhamdulillah. Nice to be here with you again.
Nice to see you. It's been a while.
It has been a while. But nice, a beautiful studios. May Allah bless them.
This is obviously your first time coming to the Dean Center here
exactly.
Now.
The previous interview, you went to my office.
Yes. I was at your office. Now you're here at our studio.
Yes. I'm pleased to be here.
Alhamdulillah. I want to get into this video because it goes into the topic what we're talking about. And are these the kind of incidences that are being reported similar to what you're about to see?
A Muslim.
You don't do Muslims?
No.
Why you don't do Muslims?
Because of your attitude. You suck.
We suck?
You do.
I do.
Because you come to this country and don't behave yourself. You get the hell out of here now!
How do you...
Or I'll call the police.
You don't touch me. Don't touch me. Don't
well,
touch
then
me.
Get out of here.
Don't touch me. Don't touch
get.
Me.
Get.
Don't touch me.
Get.
So you're saying you're not doing Muslims?
No.
So what I hear him saying is your attitude, it sucks. You don't behave yourselves. I mean, is there something that we didn't see?
Like this case, many cases, Eddie.
Uh-huh.
That's obviously very worrisome because it means that our families feel endangered and at risk when they just go out either to shop or to have dinner in a restaurant. You will have people. Some of them are not ignorant people. We have a case in Florida that the perpetrator of a similar act, even worse than this, using expletives to tell and get the out of my country to a whole family, including minors, hijabis. And he was a dentist. He's a dentist. So these are not ignorant people they feel now empowered that nothing is going to happen to them, that it will have no consequences. Because when you do it like, and you keep that conduct, knowing that you're being filmed, then you're disregarding any consequences. Like if they are somehow assured that the consequences are going to be none or limited. And that is the most worrisome part of all this story. What happens after we witness that? What we're witnessing happening is something that is worrisome because we're witnessing that the law enforcement agents involved and the state attorneys involved in the criminal investigation do not want to move forward prosecuting these criminals. It's like, the guy had a bad night, or the guy is an elder, or the guy was just drunk. Like when we are the victims and our community are the victims, we're supposed to tolerate this anti-Muslim conduct. And the law enforcement agents and the state attorneys act accordingly because we need, our legal department need to push these cases really hard, call after call, to make them face justice and face our judicial system and try to face some punishment.
What could she have done? What do you think? Why would someone
I believe she was...
Because you can identify, obviously, you see a Muslim woman, you know she's Muslim.
Of course, her appearance.
Her appearance. But
there are specific laws, even in Florida, protecting people from being harassed that way and assaulted for what their religious garb. And this is exactly what happened to this woman. There are laws. What the problems we're seeing is that enacting the laws for the first, the law enforcement to be educated that there's a law that protects people from being harassed and assaulted when they're wearing whatever religious garb they want to wear. And they just enforce it apparently selectively to some religions that are, or some the practitioners of some religions. We seem that we have observed that other people complaining that are perhaps Jews or Christians, that this has happened to them, we see law enforcement acting fast and efficiently to protect the victims. But when they're Muslims, it is very troublesome. It is like a hurdles race that our attorneys need to push as if there were no laws to protect us, and the laws are there. The Constitution is there to protect our freedom of religion as well. But what we are facing the most challenging times is with the law enforcement supporting and protecting our community. There was, let me tell you, one incident that was terrible. Almost a terrorist act happened in Miami Beach. An individual pulled a gun and started shooting 17 times, 17 times in the streets of Miami Beach to a father and son, thinking that they were Palestinians. To this day, the mayor of Miami Beach or the mayor of the county have not assured the Palestinian or Arab populations or visitors in their counties and cities that they're going to be safe. To this day, as if because the victims are Palestinians or the alleged victims were Palestinians or purported to be Palestinians, is that a thing that we cannot speak about or offer a public support to them when precisely is the most needed. I assure you, if that individual who shot that 17 times, his name was an Arabic name or a Muslim name or a Hispanic name, we will be hearing the words extremism. We will be hearing the word lone wolf. We will be hearing the word terrorism when addressing this situation. But this happened. The perpetrator was an Israeli Jew shooting to what he thought were two Palestinians, but were two other Jews. And it is seen as if somebody just stole something from a Kmart or Walmart. This is not the way that we, the community in Florida and or in our nation, expect the authorities to react when the freedom of religion is being put at stake like that, and openly shooting someone just because I think they were Muslims because of their ethnicity is even worse, right? Mm-hmm. So that double ways to measure the victims and the perpetrators is something that needs to be fixed, not just for the benefit of the Muslim community, for the benefit of our society. You cannot have anti-Semitic crimes being prosecuted with all the force of law and anti-Muslim crimes not being enforced. Mm-hmm. The problem is that inaction of the government and the inaction of law enforcement, that it affects all of us, right?
Okay. Now, the dentist. Okay, so this is an important point. This is not some hillbilly.
No, they're not ignorant. With studies, people that have...
like the dentist.
Like this recent case in Florida involves a dentist insulting and threatening.
This is an educated man now.
Of course.
And this is on tape. You got this video.
We got the video. And this is one of the cases where Omar Saleh, one of our attorneys, got directly involved with the police and directly
involved
with the state
attorney. And guess what? We have Omar Saleh, CARE Florida, here to my right. Assalamu alaikum. How are you?
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa
barakatuh. How are you, Omar?
Alhamdulillah, doing all right. Great to be here, brother.
All right, let's get into this video and you give us a breakdown. Sure. How's that?
You did not deserve my time. I'm in the ventures in Liquid Ranch, and I have someone is threatening to kill me and my family. Stay. It's 10707 Liquid Ranch Boulevard, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, there he is.
I'm sorry? Yeah, the pinchers. My name is Amr, A-M-R.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
So what's happening here? Give us a...
So there is a family, a Muslim family of six. A brother, his wife, and their four kids. Three of them are hijabi minor. Young girls, and they all went out to a restaurant. As they were waiting in line for their table, as they were sitting waiting for a table, somebody comes up to them. He was seated, and he, as soon as he sees these people who are visibly Muslim, he starts saying, yelling these expletives, "Get the F out of my country.
Get the fuck out of my country."
And it happened over a course of several minutes. He keeps doing it. He starts getting louder. What's disturbing about this is that these kids were born and raised in Florida.
These are Americans.
They're Americans, and they're being told because of their hijab to get out of it.
He was threatening to kill them?
He said, I want to kill you. In the other video, he threatens to kill them multiple times.
That's the time when they're reporting it, the family.
So he's on the phone of police?
Yes.
He's calling the police. The bystanders come to... He created a disturbance. So bystanders come to the scene to see what's going on. He's walking around. He keeps going. He doesn't just walk away. He stands up, and then in the other video, you'll see him just make some more statements. Extremely disturbing. Multiple expletives in front of these kids. Extremely offensive. And racist language just being hurled at them. Which is clearly, when you look at him, somebody who has issues or is under the influence of something. That was everybody's really immediate reaction. And that was the concern of the bystanders when this guy gets up and just goes in his car and tries to drive away.
Are these all the videos here?
There's one more video of the sheriff, when the sheriff does arrive.
Okay, so this is the one with the kids now, with the sheriff?
Right.
Dinner and just ignore them. Okay? Don't let that ruin you guys either, okay?
Easier said than done. We can't ignore somebody saying that you want to kill us and shoot us,
sir,
in public place.
I will do a report for you.
Thank you.
All right. Nice meeting you guys. Okay, bye-bye guys.
So is this sheriff's deputy telling the kids, don't let this guy ruin your dinner. He's just trying to make these excuses for him. Not realizing that he's probably already a danger in the street. You can hear the father tell the sheriff's deputy, this guy's threatening to kill us and you just want to let him go like that? And the sheriff says, I'll file a report. That's when we got involved.
The funny part, that is funny in a bad way, is that a report was done and the person described in the report had nothing to do with the identity of that dentist. Someone from another state of another race was the person specified in the police report. Could you believe that?
So what we think happens is it happens several times that police officers come to a scene and don't take a case like this seriously, which is extremely offensive. And had it been to any other faith, they would have taken it a lot more aggressively. As soon as we looked at the report, we see that they identify a black person who lives in Jacksonville. And what's clearly on the video is a white person. We had to do our own work through the license plate that was caught from the bystanders to identify who we then discovered is a licensed dentist in the area. That's what was most shocking. And so then, we're talking with the detective saying, hey, what happened was a hate-related crime based on 784.0493, a statute that's relatively new, passed by Governor DeSantis a few years ago. It's pretty new, and a lot of people don't even know about it, not even police.
What is it called?
Florida Statute 784.0493. And it makes any person who harasses or intimidates another person based on their ethnic or religious indicia possibly liable to a misdemeanor, or even more if it's coupled with a threat to injure. And what we had here is exactly what we believe fell under the statute. But first, it's just a matter of even getting to an arrest, because even if it's not under a hate-related statute, this guy caused a disturbance. And in any other context that you see somebody doing this, he would be arrested for disorderly conduct at the very minimum, if not assault, to what he did to this family. But the sheriff is telling the detective who got assigned only after we got involved is saying that, well, I spoke with this person. He was having a rough day. Ultimately, it was his freedom of speech. My response to him was that we'll let the public decide. He didn't know what I meant. Wilfredo, through his communications team, they let out several videos of the incident with text showing what was clearly a hate crime after the media caught wind of it. It was only within 48 hours that the prosecutor's office and the sheriff's department office called us to say that they were going to be filing an arrest warrant for the person.
Well, so after you did what you did in having them enforce the law, 784, this law called 784, mm-hmm. Now they took initiative to go ahead and arrest him?
Yes, they did arrest, and they did cite that statute in the arrest paperwork. Ultimately, spoiler alert, they didn't end up convicting under the statute, but they did charge with disorderly conduct. Wouldn't have happened at all had we not only dealt with the police, but then the prosecutors who are reluctant to push cases like this for whatever reasons they have. But it did take several months of us working directly with the prosecutor's office to file charges.
And as you see, it's legal pressure from our attorneys and media pressures, putting out a press conference, a press release, making more public these videos. These videos went viral. It was only then that we acted. And we see that the story did not end with a victory for justice at the end of the road. Why? Because this individual was just charged from disorderly conduct after threatening a Muslim family just for the way they looked.
What is your opinion? What do you think would have happened? This shouldn't be happening to anybody, Christian, Jew, anybody who's minding their own business, obviously taking their family out. I want you to put yourself in that predicament. You're going a nice day out, taking the kids out, family out, and then you got this lunatic over here talking about get out of my country. They're American, mm-hmm. And then he's threatening their life. What do you honestly think would have happened if this was because he identified them being Muslim probably by the lady wearing what Jesus' mother wore, the hijab, right?
Yes.
What do you think if this was a Jewish family, what do you think would have happened?
We have we know of multiple cases of anti-Semitism that we see a totally different response from law enforcement acting promptly and swiftly, and the prosecutor moving swiftly to prosecute before the courts, and they're not prosecuting those cases for a disorderly conduct. They're prosecuting for what it is, hate crimes or perhaps that statute that DeSantis signed in Florida to protect people wearing any kind of religious garb. Mm-hmm.
When you look at the legislative history of bills being passed in Florida, such as the anti-Semitism bill, not to say that it's not important to combat anti-Semitism, but should be equally applied to hate toward any religion. So
yeah.
A statute like 784... is, you know, we believe passed not necessarily for the Muslims, and in this case, not even being applied for the Muslims.
Yeah, it should be across the board. Like I said, this shouldn't be happening to anyone.
And what worries us all is what makes the perpetrators believe that they can act with impunity. Because this is not an act of, I insult you 5 seconds, I'll leave. This guy stood in front of this family for over a minute insulting them. And we have other cases of women being spat on in Fort Lauderdale because she appeared to be Muslim and someone came to her as she was paying and spat on her face.
Just came and spit on her.
I might have that one too.
That video. So we're seeing evident aggressions happening to families. That's what is worrisome. And what makes believe the people who commit these crimes on Muslim families that they're not going to be prosecuted with the full strength of Allah? That's what worries us. And as you can see, this is a systemic breakdown of the implementation of the justice apparatus. From the law enforcement, when we have in the case of the dentist, a detective and a policeman or a sheriff who misidentified the perpetrator, to then the state attorney, who's supposed to be the highest authority of law enforcement in your county, just laying back and saying, hey, I don't see a case here. This guy was just drunk. This is an elderly poor guy. I don't see a big crime happening. And he ended up perhaps to shut the media out and shut the pressure, accusing the individual of disorderly conduct when this guy was filmed communicating a threat.
We're talking about a licensed professional. So when somebody gets behind his chair, if it happens to be a Muslim, what is he thinking? And several years before that, the story that Wilfredo told about a lady getting spat on at a Walgreens because of her hijab, she was a licensed therapist. Just 2 months ago in Lee County, somebody was at a Costco wearing a Free Palestine shirt. When he walked out of the Costco, he saw two Stars of David carved into his car. When they pursued the person for vandalism, he was a licensed radiologist in Lee County. So we're talking about not degenerates as you might compare to other, you know, these are like educated, certified people who actually might treat a Muslim. That's what's really most concerning, and it's that that brazenness that Wilfredo is talking about that's a huge concern. But more concerning is that the lack of attention by a lot of law enforcement. Not to say that there's not a lot of agencies who do take cases to the fullest extent, but a lot of times we have to be behind them, police and prosecutors. That's part of our victims' rights team.
And there have been cases. I'm going to give you an example. There was a bomb threat received in Pembroke Pines Islamic Centers in Florida. And Pembroke Pines police, it was expected, it's a local police, they wouldn't perhaps prosecute that. But as soon as the FBI stepped up, it ended up in the prosecution of the individual who communicated that bomb threat to the Islamic Center. So we have had some cases that we see law enforcement acting as they're supposed to. But too many of those where we need to just beg for justice and beg for the apparatus to oil the machinery of justice to work, while we always need to oil it when it's our turn and it's already oiled and ready and running for others.
So when I opened up the program, I quoted what you were telling me, 8% nationwide of anti-Islam, anti-Muslim sentiment going up, 20% here
in Florida.
What do you think is causing that? You said you've never seen that
in your whole career, now? The volume? I haven't seen two things in my career. The volume, that from 300 complaints, it jumped to 400 complaints in a single year. And the nature of those complaints. No longer are people complaining exclusively that they have been harassed because of the way they look, like the examples we just posted in these videos, but people being punished or losing their jobs or being doxxed or harassed because of their stance against the Israeli aggression or Israeli war and war crimes against the people of Gaza. If you criticize the state of Israel or you stand for the people of Gaza, in those two instances, you're going to be accused of two things. Either you're a terrorist sympathizer or you're an anti-Semitic individual. And that goes to the whole spectrum, affecting people in the media, affecting people in the academia, affecting people in the government, affecting people in the private industry, where people to conduct businesses with the government, some of our community members have been presented a contract when they need to certify they will not boycott the state of Israel in order to get the contract with the government. As a clause protecting a third state when you don't have it even to protect our own nation. So you can't boycott any American product or any president's businesses. You can call for that, it's perfectly legal, but if you call it for the president of Israel or for the state of Israel for a boycott, now you're an anti-Semitic and a terrorist sympathizer. Mm-hmm. But now we have a different world, a world where the normal allies and countries who will never say a word to criticize that are opening up. The many, multiple countries in Europe Now, with a stance similar to those stands for the people that has been punished, perhaps for standing for the people of Gaza, mm-hmm. or calling for a ceasefire, or telling Israel have committed war crimes in this war with the Palestinians.
So people can get a holistic perspective. I want to just play this clip because it goes into now criticizing what's happening there, and this is coming from Joe Rogan.
Reasonable person would look at Gaza and go, this seems kind of excessive. Mm-hmm. This seems kind of crazy.
Right.
It seems kind of crazy that 70,000 people or whatever it is are dead, including yeah. women and children. Mm-hmm. Like, this is the only way to do it? Really? Yeah. Any reasonable person, that doesn't make you anti-Semitic. It doesn't make you anti-Zionist. It doesn't make you anything. It just like doesn't make you pro-Hamas. Like, no, it
could be pro-human.
Yeah, human like, beings.
I don't think humans should be murdered.
Yeah. Just like, that sounds so reasonable.
Question of what I think is causing the uptick in incidents like this is the racist rhetoric and prejudice, not just by the mainstream echo chambers of racists that we know, but we're coming from elected officials like Representative Randy Fine, who openly in public spews hatred toward Muslims as a whole. And when people look at tweets from somebody who holds public office, it makes them think that, well, if they do something, Why should they be reprimanded? Same with anybody in power who isn't being inclusive and is making insults toward any faith, which we can cite several examples. I think that directly is a cause of the uptick. But and then I guess not to like shift immediately, I know the team can work the magic, but on the suppression and the shifting the definitions of what anti-Semitism is, like this in this video is extremely dangerous because it waters down true anti-Semitism. We're some of the first people to call out if there's ever vandalism toward a synagogue or a Jewish person. But when we say Free Palestine and they put us in that same bucket, extremely dangerous for Jews and also clearly the movement to end the genocide. And that's exactly what the strategy is for suppression. We see it from the top down.
And there have been always significant levels of anti-Muslim and Islamophobic sentiment. When Omar started working with us 9 years ago, one of the first events that he needed to be directly involved was working with the Islamic Center of Fort Pierce that was burned to the ground by an extremist Jewish. None of the media coverage mentioned the religion of the perpetrator. We did not mention it because it had nothing to do. This was a criminal who just burned a mosque out of hate for Muslims. It could be Jew, it could be even a Muslim who hates Muslims. But you see how that is treated totally different. When that individual committed the crime, the religion, his political views were not of no public discussion. That type of crimes, even that type of crimes, have happened here in Florida, where multiple mosques have been burned, as a matter of fact, but that one was burned to the ground.
Any reasonable person would not attribute an action of one to an entire religion, but what the problem is our public officials are doing just that, and that's what's making it most dangerous.
I believe we are in a state similar to that immediately after the September 11, our community. We probably don't want to recognize it, that we are being pushed to that limit where we're being the consequences it has had in our with our kids in schools, with us in our jobs, and us in the public life. safety and security concerns, we are in levels no less than those that I suspect the community were immediately after September 11. And the rhetoric and the discourse still have not gotten any better. But on the contrary, the levels of repression are being to those who speak against war, even if you're a pacifist, even if you, notwithstanding which are the parties, this country have criminalized the pacifists of this country. The legal system is after the pacifists. It's not a matter of Gaza or not Gaza. There has always been in our history a significant part of our population that are pacifists. They have been against the Vietnam War. They have been, but those people that are praised today were repressed back then. So the same is happening with these war crimes. The people that are exposing the war crimes, we have a totally, what Americans need to understand is that we have a totally different discourse here in America regarding the conflict and the war in Gaza than the rest of the world. The rest of the world is discussing that there are war crimes being filed against heads of state of Israel. The rest of the world is discussing how we're going to detract the state of Israel for committing more war crimes. This is the public discourse in the rest of the world. And we want to pretend we're living in a bubble where we're going to hear the version of the American government and the Israeli government and just take it as true. So now that more and more countries and more media are daring to perhaps expose a little of the truth there, is when they are facing the perhaps the most challenges. So we need to open our minds, and perhaps media has helped us that way, seeing that that was fully intended to be repressed and not shown to anyone, the war crimes that were happening there.
What do you think when we showed the video earlier of the woman who was taking her son to go get a haircut, and then the barber refused to cut, you saw that video, right? Mm-hmm. To cut his hair, and it kicked him out. And he said, she said, why are you doing this? He said, your attitude, what else? He said, you guys don't behave here. So what is he seeing? What is he identifying Muslims with? What is he seeing? And do you think he, was she misbehaving? Did she have a bad attitude?
Eddie, people that hate, this is what we are trying to convey the general public.
Yeah.
That haters will hate for no reason. The same people that are anti-Muslim today will be an anti-Semite tomorrow, will be an anti-Black the day after. Because these are people that hate anything that they perceive different from themselves or their ideology.
Wouldn't you say that being anti-Muslim is actually being anti-Semitic? Because most Muslims are Semitic.
We've heard it, yes. And it always applies, but people don't hear it. People fear what they don't know and hate what they fear. A lot of people just still, 20 years later, they just don't even want to know about Muslims. They just listen to what's being shown to them by the people in high places. And that's why it's incredibly dangerous. They look at it without even knowing a Muslim, see what they see on social media, and paint a broad picture when we know not to do that. Nobody should be doing that.
I'm talking about the same incident on the barbershop. I believe this lady, first, there's nothing in her behavior that was wrong. I believe there was something in her behavior that she endangered herself. Mm-hmm. When she was filming the what was going on, as she was being asked to leave, and not to leave as fast as she could from that from that premises, she put at risk her safety and her son's safety at risk, right? But other than that, whenever you face an act like this mother face, if you can film it, that's the first thing you should do. Try to open a mic, open a video, start documenting what's going on, but think of your safety first. You say, you don't want to, let me super document this. I'm putting my family's or my own safety at risk.
What do you, as two attorneys now, what is the situation now, taking this situation and what is his right now? His right. Does he have a right not to cut his hair? Does he have a right to? And if you find yourself in the situation where obviously he's kicking her out because she's Muslim, what laws is he breaking? And then what should she do right away?
Oh my, could you tell what is the situation,
Florence? Yeah, I mean, if he's being kicked out, if she's being kicked out just for her race or religion, absolutely, that will be an accommodation issue because the barbershop is a place of accommodation. They cannot.
So he's just breaking a law.
Yes, yes. Now, the thing is, like Wilfredo said, and of course, as attorneys, we're always going to say, you know, we want to see the full picture. Was there anything before the video that could have transpired? But just
that's all I was asking. I was right. Like, okay, what in that short amount of time was she? Was her attitude? Was she misbehaving?
I didn't see anything, and I would hope in whatever state she's in. Was this in Florida?
I don't know what the city
Whatever state, they should definitely contact an attorney soon and explore possible cause of action for it. It shouldn't be. I mean, if this guy wants to cut hair in private, that's one thing. But if he's holding himself out to the public, he can't do that.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes people refuse to serve, a refusal of service, but they don't give any explanation. Mm-hmm. And that's precisely to protect themselves that my inner explanation was that I don't like Muslims, right? Mm-hmm. But in this case, it was totally different. This guy was exposing his motives. I don't like you. I don't like your people. I don't like your beliefs. Leave. I'm not going to serve you.
We've had similar cases like that, which are much more serious in popular chain restaurants when a lady's going to go in to make an order and they actually call the police on her.
A woman came to a gas station in Broward so many years ago and gave 20 to pump two. And the guy threw the 20 back to her. He said, "We don't serve your kind of people. Like that." And she was a hijabi. Sheriff came. Sheriff tried to persuade the individual, hey, she just wants service. She poses no threat. No, she has a hijab. She cannot be. I'm afraid of my safety. So.
Where was this?
In Broward County, perhaps like 8-9 years ago.
Yeah.
It's
a gas station. So she's trying to get some gas and he threw her money back?
Threw money back, and we don't serve your kind of people. Those were his words. We cannot reveal any more details because of legal aspects, but it wasn't an easy ride for the gas station after our legal team got involved.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that happens, and that kind of refusal of service, open refusal of service. Mm-hmm.
It's nothing new that hasn't happened in history, but what we're seeing now is that people are being more brazen about it. They feel like right now they can do it. They can live like what we learned from the past is extremely wrong, but now based on what our from our president to other elected officials are portraying to entire races and religions, they feel that they can do it.
These people have been always in our societies, Eddie, but the haters, the anti-Muslim, the anti-Semites, the racists, these are people that have been operating in the margins because the mainstream society say, hey, we don't want your voice to be at the center of the public square, at the center of the media. So those forces that were marginalized intentionally by our laws and our society because they were intolerant, they were anti-Muslim and racist or xenophobes in any way, now, for the past perhaps 10 years, they have move to be part of the main square discourse, giving audience in the media, giving importance to our politicians, giving a space in the business world to lead them and use them as examples. And that what affects is not the Muslim community. We have said it before. This really affects the true fabric of America because what makes America different and stronger than many other nations is not the fact that they're rich, it's the fact that this is a nation where all people from a lot of religions have been able to synergize and make this nation strong and safe as it is today. If you want to take that out of the equation, the diversity, the strength that our diversity brings to this nation, you're breaking the main root of what makes this nation strong. It is a nation where anybody of any religion is supposed to be respected, or of no religion, are supposed to be respected and treated equal. And that was a moving factor for our founding fathers to cross an ocean and establish this nation, looking for that, still in the 21st century being violated by this thing.
I quoted a study that I think it was CARE, and it was talking about the Islamophobic industry. It was like a $250,000 industry. And then one of my shows, one of my guests from Sound Vision, Abdul Mujahid, I quoted this. He said, no, you're wrong.
Millions, hundreds of millions.
He said it's a $1 billion industry. Yes. Yeah. So Kerr said it was Kerr was on the low end, said it was a multi-hundred million dollar industry. It was like 250 million. But then he said, no, it's a $1 billion industry. I said, how's that? He said, because if you equate all the media networks, Fox News, yes, and all these are $1 billion industries. So would you say that's accurate?
It is. It is. And although the mainstream, what we used to know as mainstream media, have themselves tried to stand away from those political stances, yeah, right, of opinion on Muslims and religions. As a matter of fact, when Fox News, local Fox News nationwide, mm-hmm, interview us or any incident, there is not the national Fox News, especially the shows that we see from 6 to 9 p.m. It acts really as a mainstream, other mainstream media. They're not that politically charged as the central studios in the night shows, right? Mm. So that means that media do recognize our presence nationally and in Florida, right? In Florida, we are over 500,000 Muslims. Florida is the third state with most Islamic centers, probably passing 200 Islamic centers in the whole state. So our presence no longer can be ignored, right? As a matter of fact, this year, after the effort of our policy team and many other allies, it's the first year that the Florida legislature, both the House and the Senate, passed a resolution naming May, this last month, the month of May, as the American Muslim History Heritage. Muslim Heritage Month. And it's the first time that both chambers adopt a resolution. It's not a law, but we think it's a good first step to first acknowledge that we are here, who we are, and our contributions to this state before asking them or them being inclined and willing to pass specific legislation to protect us instead of in broader general terms, very specific, like they have passed to other religious minorities.
Have you seen in these cases any that people are recommended as a part of their community service, that now they do sensitivity training and then they're sent to maybe go to a mosque, talk to Muslims, and then has that been successful? Because I'm sure yourself, I mean, if people look at your story, you were actually a Christian at one time, you accepted Islam. I did that interview with you. And if people were to sit with you, talk with you, I'm sure many of these people who have much of this hate-filled rhetoric, if they sit, they get their answers, they get educated properly, you know, hearts can change, you know?
It does.
So have you seen any recommendations towards sensitivity trainings in any of these cases that people are sent to go through visiting a mosque? And has this happened?
So, you know, with every case being different, like in our victims' rights, it's usually an apology letter and anger management courses, and maybe, but it hasn't been, at least with our criminal cases, hasn't been tied with something like visiting a mosque. But we do sensitivity training to law enforcement agencies.
Law enforcement, this is really important.
Islam 101s, just to know the basics of if somebody has to effectuate an arrest, you know, how they should treat if they're entering a masjid to effect a search warrant or talk to somebody. Because on the other end, we're educating our community on what to do and not to do when you're approached by law enforcement. So it really bridges the gap when we do those. But with the people, I don't know too many people that couple like an individual sensitivity training, but with a entities, companies that we've sued in the past for lack of accommodation or maybe searching somebody. We sued a cruise line because they searched a hijabi lady. That's going to include, some sensitivity training toward Muslims. It's more on the institute, the corporate level that we can implement those, less with individuals. But it's something that I think if we can implement it, it's a...
And talking about the refusal of services, the South Florida Muslim Federation, that is an umbrella organization that has over 32 members that are all Islamic centers or Islamic schools or Islamic organizations, sued Marriott because they refused to hold their conference. They call it off a few days because they ceded to some pressure of some callers and people who start emailing them, say, hey, terrorists are going to do this event. This is an event, safety and security. And with a totally baseless approach, call off an event.
How long ago was this?
It was 2 years ago, 2 years, right? Yeah. 2 years. And the case still ongoing to this.
Here in Florida?
Here in Florida. Still ongoing, the case. Mm-hmm. We have not been negotiated yet. There were other cases, too, that
I wish I could, I wish I could talk about them, but... We can't talk about them.
But there are some that, because they're closed with a confidentiality agreement, you're not supposed to give any specific. That mm-hmm. one in Marriott is ongoing. No agreement has been reached yet. So that's why we can make it.
So much of this hate, I mean, would you say it's built on a false false picture that's been painted to people thinking that, and most of these things, when you go deep, this is geopolitical, you know, these are events that are... You know, when I interviewed the director of If Americans Only Knew, she's a Christian lady, and she was telling me that this is an orchestrated effort by certain Zionist organizations that have been set up spreading this misinformation about Muslims and Islam to create this kind of atmosphere. This is not some kind of this conspiracy theory, but then she pointed out to the certain particular groups.
There are, at present, some Zionist groups that openly, for example, associate my organization, CARE, with a terrorist organization. Yeah. They do that. But our community cannot lose sight that the Muslims have been prosecutors since the first Shahada.
Yeah.
And by the state, by other state, by people committing treason within your state. So we have been practicing a religion that have been spreading and growing exponentially in the whole world for the past 1400 years, notwithstanding the levels of oppression that they go up to the extremes of wars and to the extremes of ethnic cleansings, that the ones that happen in Al-Andalus, that I was just reading an article last week where it says, where someone is documenting as a factual and with a factual scientific basis the ethnic cleansing of Moriscos in the 16th century of Spain. So even in the 16th, 17th century, there were the ethnic cleansing that started in 1492 did not end up until a couple of hundred years from Spain. So that kind of information and evidence that where people see this is how this community, worldwide community of Muslims have spread it around the world and have survived, notwithstanding the greatest powers of the world at this, being against them, right? We hear of empires trying to squash the growth of Islam. The truth is that no one have been able to stop the growth that right now is growing at level unprecedented. This is the fastest growing religion in Latin America. It's the fastest growing
in Latin America. Where
is the fastest growing religion here in America? What we see is churches diminishing in population. These are factual, and churches diminishing in those that visit them, and more mosques being open, and the congregations of the mosques keep growing, more schools. So the reality of this nation is that Muslims is the fastest growing religion. So if you are not acquainted with a Muslim, you should try to make an effort. And perhaps if you're not Muslim, reach a Muslim and say, hey, don't be offended. May I ask about your religion? What is it that your beliefs? Could you share a little of your...
Most Muslims would love, welcome that.
Exactly. Yeah. And I believe it will go a long way. It will go a long way because more and more it will be more common that the teacher of your son will be a Muslim, or the doctor taking care of your son or yourself will be a Muslim.
Yeah.
And because the growth and in the and the ramifications of employment that we have decided are ramifications that are in a great deal of contact with the broader community, university professors, doctors, engineers, business owners, market owners. So these are people that contact and affect thousands of people in their surroundings. Right?
I want to go ahead and get your reaction, because when we talk about some of the root causes for some of this hate, it stems from exactly what this person is going to go ahead and talk about right here in this video.
I'm at the point now where I don't think I fought for the country. I fought for some politician's view on something. There are particular guys that I think of that I and I remember one dude in particular that I shot buddy, and then I came through his room. I killed one of his wife in a bedroom because he went for a gun. And I think about him now, and it's like, all right, why did I Well, because he went for a gun. Okay, but why did he go for a gun? Well, because I was in his fucking room at 2 in the morning. Well, why was I in his room at 2 in the morning? Well, because George fucking Bush was pissed that Saddam Hussein allegedly wanted to his dad, so we invaded. And then I start to think, was this guy funny? What if I met him in Paris over a coffee? Would we have actually liked each other? And I just him because a politician sent us here for weapons of mass destruction that didn't exist? The only reason we were each other is because we were born on different parts of the world. That's it.
What do you think when this is supposed to be the person that took out Laden?
It seems like it took quite, I don't think that was immediately after he did it. And it seems like it took a great deal of thought and possibly education for somebody like that to realize or to actually be affected by what we know is a systematic effort to paint picture of picture of Muslims and Middle Easterners or anybody associated with Islam as evil. This is somebody who's realizing it. Like Brother Fried, there's the financial support behind it. I just want to go ahead and think, but there's a counterbalance to everything that we're seeing that really is the bright line, and it's the truth and education. And I think that's what this person was finally exposed to say, wait a minute, you know, everything I've been fed or taught, it's not what's true. I think it's the same with what's going on now, almost 2 years after October 7th, that a lot of people like Joe Rogan, as you just saw, but it takes time and education.
And he's exposing, and I say this I was a Navy chaplain and I was a Navy attorney. I served up both, proudly. In 1988 to 91, and then in 2005, I was in the chaplain court. What this individual is espousing is the horrors of war. War is the most anti-natural behavior of human beings, because it's not the same as if someone breaks here and try to harm us and we defend ourselves directly of that harm, that going to work to a war where our soldiers are ordered to kill people that have done nothing directly to them. And when the killing turns to killing of non-combatants, women, elders, children, the only way they can sustain and live with it is if their countries dehumanize the victims. I assure you that from the war on Gaza, there are going to be thousands of Israeli soldiers that are going to be suicidal, that were not suicidal before, and are going to live the rest of their lives thinking, should I take my life today?
We've seen that, yeah.
Exactly. This is the price that our veterans pay, especially when you wage wars that are not clearly a defensive war of your country. When you go to Vietnam, when you go to the Far East to engage in wars with people that have done nothing, absolutely nothing against us or our country, what have the Gazans done against America for us to aid in the order of billions of dollars and military intelligence for that crimes to be happening? What have the people of Gaza done to the United States of America to deserve that 17,000 children to be murdered in a year by any country. We have a very loose tongue calling Putin a war criminal. Putin have not killed 17,000 Ukrainian children. And we call him a war criminal. What do we call that person responsible of killing 17,000 children? But we are too shy. We are too scared. I mean, the general, not the Muslim community, the general American community to stand for justice. And all of us will need, and all of those in power, will need to give an account to their children and grandchildren. You were a politician when this war was happening. What were you doing? Oh, I was approving thousands of millions of dollars and bombs to be thrown on these people. The equivalent of 5 Hiroshima and Nagasaki atomic bombs, the equivalent of 5 atomic bombs have been dropped in bombs in Gaza. That is not atomic, is the only difference. But the TNT power of the bombs thrown there is equivalent to 5 atomic bombs. And we still, a lot of people in our society, try to drink the pill that something is a war. It's happened like in any other war. A war where we don't see an army, we don't see an air force, we don't see a navy. We just might see some militias. And killing militias are worth, will not give you an excuse to kill 17,000 children. I'm not talking about the pregnant women that were killed. I'm not talking about the thousands of elders that were killed. And I'm not talking about many other war crimes that are war crimes. If any country does it anywhere in the world, destroying schools, destroying hospitals, destroying shelters. And what is worse, openly, the leadership of a country openly advocating to starve a civilian population as a weapon of war. That open discussion of the highest ranks of the Israeli government, people in the military and in the civilian government advocating for the cleansing of all Gaza, ethnic cleansing. Here in America, Randy Fine. What Randy Fine says that Omar brought is not like Islamophobic statements. He's saying statements like, nuke Gaza. When someone posted a picture of a dead child, he said, keep them coming, keep killing them. So that type of discourse to be publicly stated and without any significant reaction to the organizations this individual belongs to, being the party, the political party, or any organization, is worrisome. Because these are the people who are enacting the federal laws. He's a federal representative in the House of Representatives. So that inconsequential anti-Muslim, anti-Arab hate, or that is totally the opposite when people elicit any, and it should be like that. It should be the opposite. People that relate any anti-Arab, anti-Muslim statement should be treated the same, with the same rigor of the law, of those who do any anti-Semitic statement or commit any anti-Semitic crime. Mm-hmm. It's the same. But when you differentiate, what you're putting in danger is not the Muslim, the minority community that you're living with that crime unsolved. You're really hurting the whole justice system, the whole community, because any religious minority will not feel safe. As the same as hundreds of years ago, why the Mormons ended up in Utah. It was a very inhospitable place. Why they ended up there? Because they were prosecuted. They were looking for a safe space. Mm-hmm. And they established there, and now they're thriving. There was a time in America that Catholics were not allowed to build and construct churches in New York. Mm-hmm. Those are inconceivable things for Christians. But this is our passive, our religion. So this is a political system that the rights are not given, freely given and recognized to you. The rights are there, but you need to learn them, grab them, and exercise them, and assert them being assured that you know them. And that you know that the law is behind you, and that you know that the Constitution is behind you. If our community is empowered with that type of knowledge, knowing their rights when they travel, knowing their rights in their employment, knowing their rights as a student, knowing their rights as an employer, knowing their rights when interacting with law enforcement, if they're empowered with that, they will become stronger citizens, and citizens that are not feared but respected.
Beautiful. As we conclude, go ahead. What were you going to say?
When we sued the governor in end of 2023, what we were telling everybody, and it still stands, is that, you know, this was not a Muslim thing. It's a constitutional thing. When they were trying to shut down Students for Justice in Palestine, this was not for Muslims. It was for protection of our freedom of speech under the Constitution. And don't ask the top colleges, because they don't know any better. Don't ask Harvard or Columbia, because they don't know any better. Don't ask physicians who are being fired, some of the top scholars in the United States, because they don't know any better either. And you know what? Don't ask Jews who believe in free Palestine, because they're not true Jews. And that's actually what we hear from Zionists. We've heard it from the mayor of Miami Beach calling a Jewish person not Jewish just for calling out the genocide. And that, it, what I think is that, is utter and complete denial.
Mm-hmm. Let's spend just a couple minutes before we conclude going back and talking about this beauty of Islam that is drawing people to it, despite all of the the hate, the misinformation, the billion-dollar industry, and all of this push to get people frightened about Islam, manufactured fear. You go to a movie theater, and then you know it's nothing real. It's manufactured fear that they want to get you scared. You look for that. So people are scared of something that they really shouldn't be scared of. They're scared of Islam, but if they sit with someone like you, with you, if they sit with a Muslim, a scholar, they visit a mosque, and we want people to visit mosques. We want people to come and talk with us, ask these questions, and I'm sure after some proper education, break bread with us, talk with us, perceptions can change. So what is it? I mean, now that's drawing people, would you say, someone like you also now, there's your story out there, who you also looked into Islam for yourself. You didn't take what the media was telling you or what these hate provocateurs are saying. You opened up the Quran for yourself. You studied Islam, and it brought you to Islam. What is it? What would you say to the people who are out there tuning in, and they're like, they've been fed all of this information. They have a legit fear of the unknown.
I believe if I may propose to a non-Muslim to go ahead and hear it from no one. Get a Quran and read the Quran. Hear it from no one. Read it and come to your own conclusions. I'm not saying that it's guaranteed that you're going to embrace or not embrace Islam. But what is going to be guaranteed is that you will understand one-fourth of the population that you probably do not understand. And living a life ignorant of the true practice of almost 2 billion people around the world is not a good way to live, right? Travel, if you can travel. Mm-hmm. Try to personally meet Muslims. Like I said, the probabilities of you ending up working with a Muslim co-worker or your teacher of your kid to be a Muslim or your student, your college student son being taught by a Muslim in college or being treated in any of the hospitals by the tens of thousands of medical doctors that are Muslims that work in Florida will change your perspective. When the Islamic Center of Fort Pierce was burned out, a lady who was a cancer patient who was not Muslim was standing out for the Muslims in the mosque because the imam of the mosque was her personal doctor during all her treatments throughout all her life in Fort Pierce. I have treated her with respect and with mercy. And where his Islamic center was burned, even though she was not Muslim, she was standing there. Why? Because if you practice any of the Abrahamic religions, if you consider yourself a true practitioner of Judaism, of Christianity, of Islam. And there is no mercy or no justice in your equation of your religion. You need to review it. Because nothing that is justice, mercy, can come from any of those three Abrahamic religions that, after all, recognize our Lord, the Creator, as the Supreme Lord. If you're practicing a religion that recognizes our Lord as the Creator and your Lord, and in that equation says there are some justification for injustices, you need to review it. Mm-hmm. You are not a true Jew. If you think that of Judaism, you're not a true Christian. If you think that of Christianity, and you're not a true Muslim, if you think that of Islam. Only perfect justice can come from any of the religions that recognize Allah as the Creator and the only Lord.
Alhamdulillah, we've made so many alliances in the past few years just from joining the common cause. And I think this is really a stress test at these times of how tightly knit the community can stand together, can show up. And what I tell the Muslim community now is just show up. Show up and show up together. If you want to be the change or see the change you want in your community, you have to show up to the committee meetings, your local meetings as best as you can. That's one thing that I think if it had happened more in the past, we would have seen more change now. So all we can do now is do it now. And that's showing up, inshallah.
Thank you for coming down, and thank you for covering this. Inshallah, this can be a benefit for many. And for those out there who would like to follow the brilliant advice that you gave.
Okay, they can follow our workplace, CareFlorida, yes. CareFlorida.org, or CareFlorida in all social media. And if they want to follow me, is my name, Wilfredo Ahmed Ruiz, in Instagram.
So you're there in South Florida?
We are physically in South Florida, but we serve the whole state.
Same with you.
Yeah, we're in the South Florida office. It's your office. We handle cases of racial and religious discrimination. We educate the community and really letting everybody know that right now, especially right now, it's important to show up together. We're in this together, inshallah.
I've been blessed with devoting the last 13, 14 years of my professional life to Care Florida. Mm-hmm. The reason that moved me is our purpose, that is to serve our community and allow them to freely practice their religion in this beautiful country. That's what we want to do.
May God Almighty Allah reward both of you.
Thank you.
And if you want to take Wilfredo's advice and you want to open up this book, I'll make it very easy for you. It's a gift from me to you. Go to thedeanshow.com. We'll get you a copy of the Quran for free from me to you. And we'll see you next time. Subscribe if you haven't already. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.